Thank you for coming in this morning, and we're talking about calving this morning. We're going to center on that and some tips for breeders, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people are either right in the middle of calving, as we are at the research center. We're about half through our heifers, and a lot of the seed stock purebred breeders are finished calving probably some time ago, so I think it's real important to understand that nutrient requirements for animals post-calving are at their highest, especially for the young first calf heifers, for example. And a lot of that is due to intake, where animals can't physically eat enough roughages to meet their requirements at many times. So we have to provide some additional supplements, such as distiller's grains or perhaps corn, if protein's not limiting in the diet, to make sure they're on a positive plane of nutrition going through calving and then up until breeding.
And I'm sure through the years probably that you've been involved with the Research Extension Education Center, you've probably seen different trends and better ways of doing things that produce better results. Has that been the case? Have you seen that kind of change a little bit, and how we get the best results?
Yeah, I think I think one thing that's evolved a lot over time is our access to the byproduct or co-product from the ethanol industry, and a very nutrient-rich feed supplement in distiller's grains. So they're available either in wet or dry, and they're high in protein, high in energy, high in phosphorus, which is generally a limiting mineral that's quite expensive to supply, but we get it in distillers, plus some additional fat that isn't taken out in the process, which is high, which increases the energy in that feedstuff as well. So that's certainly something that... And then depending on what other commodity prices are, I mean, Nebraska raises pretty much everything, and we can incorporate many different feedstuffs that are grown locally into a ration or into a diet for a beef animal.
So what is your role as a professor in animal science? Are you mostly just advising producers and breeders of what, you know, best practices are and making recommendations?
That's a big part of it. I have a 60% extension appointment where I do a lot of educational events with producers, veterinarians, other allied industry, not only in Nebraska, but around other states, and I've been out of the country several times too. And we use our research. We have a big ranch up by Whitman, Nebraska, the Goodmanson Sandhills Laboratory, and then we have facilities here at North Platte where we finish all the cattle from that ranch. And we do a lot of systems research looking at best management practices to help producers be more profitable, but understand, you know, how different decisions in the beef production system affects the animals, I mean, clear to when they go to slaughter.
You know, and you share information. You get, I'm sure, as you go travel around, you get a lot of information too that you can incorporate on what you do. And you just kind of have to know what's best for this area too. I'm sure it varies a little bit how you handle things going from this area, and like you said, you're going to Montana, and maybe, you know, like obviously when you travel to the other side of the world and learn, they're doing things a little bit different too, I'm sure.
Certainly, animals are, there's different breeds that adapt to different environments for sure, and different areas have, the climate can be a big factor that that affects what type of genetics you utilize. We can use the British and continental breeds here very well, but in more tropical countries and even down south in the United States, they need some more heat-adapted cattle like Brahma.
Yeah. It's challenging, isn't it? The weather itself is a big challenge, and you never know. I mean, we had that real below zero cold snap just a few weeks ago, and you know, when that happens, and you know, we get teased before that. We had some warmer weather, I know, and this spring roller coaster presents a lot of challenges, doesn't it, for producers? Yeah,
that brings up a good point too. One of the areas that we've always done research on at the Goodmanson Sandhills Laboratory, at least since I've been here, which has been a number of years now, is different calving times. So when you talk about the weather, we've always had at least two different calving seasons. For example, we have a March calving herd and a May calving herd. And a lot of the impetus for the later calving is because of the weather, because we don't have extensive facilities to put animals, you know, in barns and things when we get that cold weather. So on some of these big ranches, one person may calve, you know, 700 to 900 females, and with very little facilities. A lot of the facilities are cedar tree row windbreaks.
Yeah.
So it behooves us to, for calf survival and lack of labor and facilities, that has been a challenge for a lot of ranches, to calve where the weather's better, and there's a lot of consequences with that.
For sure. Other thing you want to mention was about the Nebraska Ranch Practicum, so I'll let you touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, we have an educational program that's, I would say, unique probably in the world, called the Nebraska Ranch Practicum, which is a season-long integrated ranch management program that takes place either at the West Central Research and Extension Center here at North Platte, or most of the sessions are up at the Goodmanson Ranch. But it looks at and teaches best production practices and integration of all aspects of ranching, from range management to economics to a lot of the production decisions. One that I just mentioned was, say, choosing a calving date, and you get to see that, and it's very hands-on. Mm-hmm. It starts in June and ends in January.
And if they're interested in that, the fee for those 8 sessions is $750, and they need to get their application in by May 5th. I see on that. And if you'd like your spouse to be involved, that's an additional $400. But you provide all the educational materials, noon meals, breaks on that. I think probably you get feedback from people, I'm guessing, that have gone through this. I'd say it's been a big benefit to them.
Yeah, and if you go to our website, I think there's some testimonials and things on there. But Nebraska Ranch Practicum .unl.edu, and it tells you more about the program and the application process, and I guess the date should be posted, but the first day this year is June 3rd.
That is the first of 8 sessions there. It says here, if you're wanting those credits too, the practicum has been approved for college credit through the Animal Science or Agronomy and Horticulture departments at UNL, and for continuing education credits by the Society for Range Management and the Nebraska Board of Veterinary Medicine and Surgery. So cover a lot of things there, obviously.
Yeah, and it's open to, you know, to anybody. We don't just have producers. We have students and allied industry. We usually have veterinarians that will take it. And again, they can get their continuing education credit when they complete that as well. And then we have, you know, land managers. We have realtors. And people from other states too. And
no kidding.
A lot of the real benefit in the program is the interaction with the unique diversity of the participants.
Interesting. You limit it to 35, so better, you know, if you're thinking about that, probably need to make a decision here in the next few weeks and not let it go down to the wire on that with that May 5th deadline. And it says here they can contact Jerry Valesky if they would like more information on that. 308-696-6710 is his number, or you can email jerry.valesky, and he spells his last name V-O-L-E-S-K-Y, at unl.edu. And I'm sure they could just Google it probably and get to the website if they want more information on that as well. And that for specifically for the ranch practicum, you have a specific website, webpage, NebraskaRanchPracticum.unl.edu. Is that right?
That's right.
That's what I'm seeing here. Troy Walls is also a good guy to contact, right? You have questions, 872-6831. And his email, troy.walls, W-A-L-Z, at unl.edu. Anything else, Rick, before you head on out that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
I do a lot of work in reproductive physiology, and I'm getting a lot of questions on estrus synchronization and going into breeding season.
That's
and
way above my head.
Considerations there. So.
As soon as you said that, I'm so like, never heard of it. Sounds complicated. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Is that like cutting edge stuff that you're talking about? Or,
yeah, and know? We are having a national meeting here in September, 17th and 18th, of the Applied Reproductive Strategies in Beef Cattle. So we had one of the first ones back in 04 in North Platte, and since then, it's been all over the United States. Last year was in Athens, Georgia. It's been in Florida, Texas. So we're real fortunate to bring national and international speakers here to North Platte. So watch for that.
So have you kept track of how many, have you visited all 50 states as part of your job? Or
probably not all, but
pretty close to all?
Yeah, a major portion of them for
maybe
sure.
Maybe 40?
Yeah.
40 or so. You mentioned you're going up to Montana here in a few weeks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks for the Montana Nutrition Conference and another.
Hope the weather cooperates.
Yeah.
They get some pretty bad blizzards even in April, I know.
Yeah.
Up there for sure. It sounds like you have to just you're probably traveling almost as much as you stay at your home base here in North Platte, huh?
Yeah, at times for sure.
Yeah. Certain times a year. Well, Rick, we want to thank you for coming in this morning, visiting with us, and good luck in your travels, and enjoy meeting new people. That's another advantage of traveling. You're constantly meeting new people and people that care about the same thing you do, huh?
Yeah, right.
That's got to be a plus for sure. Rick Funston, professor in animal science with the West Central Research Extension and Education Center, has been our guest today.